moved here May last year, and I was coming. Sometimes things hit our lives, which leave us completely disoriented, right? That job that meant the world to us that we just lost. That blow that we took in our marriage. That loss of a loved one. And when we experience these things, it brings complete and utter disorientation. And until that disorientation is not resolved, we cannot achieve balance and health in our lives. So where do we go with this? Okay, I know. I'm going to tell you a story now. And you're going to think that the story has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But I ask you to just wait a little bit. And then I'm going to read you a text that you're going to think, now I'm sure that this has nothing to do with it. But I'm asking you to bear with me. Because I think we can see something that some of us have seen our entire lives, and some of us might see today for the first time, that could really be the answer to many of the disorientations in our lives. There you go. Do any of you recognize this guy? No? American Idol winner. He wrote a song that went popular already 12 million spoke himself about a pastor that Danny Goki met some time ago. This pastor who was in the Wisconsin area had a friend who was a doctor. We have a doctor here, so I may ask you this one day. And this friend asked the doctor, hey, you know what I would like to do? I would like to go to see an open heart surgeon. I would like to go and check out a surgeon and see how it is, because it just sounds so cool. And I just like to go and see how that surgery goes. So the doctor said, and he goes there and they begin and they cut and it gets pretty graphic and they open. And this lady, Miss Johnson, her heart was broken and it wasn't working and she was about to die. And the doctors go in and they repair her heart. And the surgery goes beautifully well. And the heart is repaired and all the valves are in place and there's no more blockages. And the heart is in perfect condition. They jolted. They jolted again. But nothing happened. The doctor grabbed the heart and gave him a cotton. They tried again, but nothing happens. And then the doctor just throws the book out of the window and kneels down next to his desk. Seconds later, her heart began to beat. And hence, the story behind the song, tell your heart to beat again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to go into the Lord. Lord, some of us walked in for the very first time here. We are so glad that we're here. It is exciting to be here and celebrating the fact that you suffered and you saw a 33-year-old son wrongly accused of beating. Crowns of thorns put in his head, nails driven through his hands, spear. Some of us suffering, taking heavy loads. Some of us excited. But it doesn't matter how we come here. If we come here from comfort. So I pray that as we spend this time together, I don't know if any of this makes sense. Lord, you know I come to you all my life. I don't know what it is that you have planned for us today.
I can use this one, it's no problem.
All right, Luke 23, come with me, Luke 23. Now I sound like a singer, so please take that reverb off. Luke 23, verse 55. Again, you'll think that this has nothing to do with it, but I think it does. I really, really think it does if you're patient enough to bear with me. Luke 23, verse 56. Let me put you the context. In the verses before, Jesus had been, these things that we call the passion of the Christ. And you know the whole story because you've seen it in movies. Even if you never attended a church before, you know the story because you've heard it, you've seen it, you've seen the paintings, you've seen the movies, the TV shows. This Jesus of Nazareth, a Jew, an innocent man, the Son of Man and the Son of God, had been paraded through the city. He had gone through a mock trial. He had been beaten and abused and pierced, and he had hung on a cross. The earth had quakened. Darkness had veiled his long and suffering. The veil in the sanctuary had been torn from top to bottom. And there, in a last excruciating shout, Jesus shouts, "It is finished." In the following verses, on a Sunday morning, Jesus would rise again, because not even death could hold him down. He would come out of the grave victorious over everything that stands in the way of our happiness and our eternal hope, giving us victory. But in between, we find these two verses. And they might be meaningless, perhaps, at first sight. Yet I think they are quite beautiful in themselves. Luke 23, verse 55 to 56. Are you there? I'll read it to you, but fact check me, please. And the women who had come with him from Galilee follow after, and they observe the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they return and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Have you ever thought about that Sabbath? We know everything that happened on that Friday. We celebrate it. We know everything that happens on that Sunday, and we celebrate it. But in between, there was a day. A day that we often fail to even consider, think about. And can you imagine how that day was? That day there were disciples. Disciples that were disappointed beyond measure. They had lost 3 years of their life pursuing something that was utterly meaningless at this point. Years they had invested following this teacher who they called Jesus. But now he was dead, and their loss, their future, their personal investment seems to be in vain. And if you don't believe me, go to Luke chapter 24. It's probably even on the same page. You don't even have to turn the page. And this happens on a latter day, but it gives you a good idea of what they were feeling. Even though this is on Sunday, I'm pretty sure their feelings hadn't changed. And on verse 24, verses 20 and 21, these men are walking down, and it's Sunday, and Jesus appears to them. He had already risen, but they couldn't recognize him. And this is what they say. And it talks about these things that happened, verse 19, concerning the Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him and condemned him to death and crucified him. But check this out, verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping that this would be the one. We were hoping that this Jesus was the answer to our problems. We were hoping. But now we are hopeless because we don't know what happened, but he's dead, and he was alive, and now he's dead. And we are disoriented. Because when we get disoriented, failure makes us hopeless. And these disciples were hopeless. The Bible tells us that some other ones would even go back to fishing, because when we are hopeless, we just go back to what we used to know and to our comfort zones of the past. And then we have another group of people on that Saturday, that Sabbath day. You have Pharisees, priests, preachers, pastors, who would go to the synagogues, and they would preach, and they would pray about all these things that happened, and they would preach about all these rites that they were doing, and this feast that they were celebrating. Passover, and they would take time to remember what Jesus had done for them in Egypt long time ago. And they were thinking about this guy that would come in the future, this Messiah. And discrediting this Jesus, he couldn't have been it. And then they were preaching in their pulpits, reminiscing some time past and wishing on the future. Because when we get disoriented, many times all we can do is reminiscing on what used to be, or simply wish on what could be. Others even go to Pilate asking for a guard to go and guard the tomb. Because when you are disoriented, when we get disoriented, when these things in our life disorient us, they blind us. Even when we achieve success, these Pharisees had gotten what they wanted. Jesus was dead. Even when we achieve success, we are still restless. And they couldn't rest. Because when we get disoriented, even when you think you obtain success, you are still restless. But there were these women here. Luke tells us, Luke, who writes to these people that were not considered much ever, writes about the shepherds who were marginalized, the illegal immigrants maybe of their time, writes about all these people who were belittled, ignored, who had no rights. And he tells us that they returned every birthday to Isis and they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. We really don't know why they did what they did. Maybe sometimes it's just because we default to things that we're used to. Or maybe they had really discovered something. But did you ever stop to think, what was Jesus doing on that Sabbath day? That Friday, he died. That Sunday, he raised to give you victory. Yet there was a period in between. Would you mind following me back to the Old Testament for just a little bit to put a little frame onto this, and then we'll land it? Genesis chapter 1 tells us a story. Do you know what story that is? What story is that? The story of creation. This bang that happened that was huge as Jesus spoke and energy became matter and all this great light came, and first there was created light, and then the firmament, and God creates all these spaces and atmospheres and firmaments, and then he fills them with teeming life, and he does all these amazing things. Just by the power of his voice. And these things come to be in everything we experience, and it tells us that at the end of this process, when there was life beyond beauty, nothing that we can even imagine today, he looked at this, and it says that he said that this was very, very, very good. Job 58 tells us that it was a feast, and there was a celebration throughout the heavens, celebrating this creation that God had accomplished. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, it says that at the end of this process, Jesus does something. Genesis 2, verse 3. It says that at the very end of this process, after Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how can it be? You broke our chains, you set us free, and you want us to experience rest. Rest that only you can give. Rest through that restless hearts of ours. Rest from the pain and suffering that we feel. We don't know how it can be. We don't understand it because the pain is real and these things are real. But you did all this so that we can rest in you and that we can have the assurance that you are coming again to complete this entire work and take us home again, where we will rest in you for eternity. We can't wait till that day. But in order to get there, we need to experience that togetherness with you. We need to replenish our energies by coming into that face-to-face encounter with you. We need that rest so that we can make it home. So whatever it is that is keeping us restless today, allow us to experience that rest because we encountered you today. And may you bring us back next week so that we can rest in you and so that our hope may never die, by being replenished day by day, week by week, by your presence. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his life. And thank you for his rest. May it be a reality in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. We have lunch options, as you already heard. And also, we are starting today a sermon series called Hope Never Dies. And we will talk on the following weeks how we can experience hope in different areas of our lives, in front of death, marriage, whatever it is. So we're glad you're here. We just encourage you to come back next week. God bless you. See you later.